I think that's one of the first songs you ever did here, Brother Chris, for that song. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to preach this morning on one of the greatest and blessed doctrines in all the Bible. You never hear it preached about, very, very, very rarely. And it's element and it's action. It's a thing that clarifies and it certifies our Christian life and our Christian faith. It is the foundation. It's the fundamental of our Christian hope. Without it, there's no hope. There's no home in heaven. There's no help. There's no song. There's nothing. It's one of the greatest doctrines ever found in the Bible. And it is essential for eternal life. Without it, you're lost and doomed to hell. No hope without it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen." Amen. "And to the glory of God for us, by us. Now He which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God." Watch us. "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." And I will preach a few minutes this morning and tonight. By the way, it's going to be a two-part message. There's no way to get it in one. So I'm going to preach a message on the seal of the Holy Spirit. I'll preach a little message I call, "He Sealed the Deal." He sealed the deal. And it's found throughout the Bible. And it's one of the most important doctrines found in all the Bible. And the word seal means, it means to secure. It means to shut. It means to ratify. It means to confirm. It means to fasten. It means to fix. We say something sealed, it's been sealed. We take a letter and lick it and we seal it and we fix it and we fasten it. It also means seal. It means to imprint or to mark or to sign or authenticate. A seal of deed, a notary public seal. And I want to preach this morning just for a few minutes. And I'm going to get in the message I just called it. He sealed the deal. And without the seal of the Holy Spirit this morning, you're lost and headed for hell. Without the seal of the Holy Spirit this morning, there's no hope. There's no hope in heaven. There's nothing else there. You're all alone without God. And I want to give you a few things about it this morning. I want you to take your Bible and turn to me with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Go to John chapter 7. Give you a few verses. I'll preach to you one of the greatest doctrines in all the Bible, the seal of the Holy Spirit. This separates the men from the boys, by the way. You won't hear this preached in much churches around anymore. They don't preach doctrine or anything. But it's one of the greatest doctrines found in all the Bible. And Ephesians chapter 1 says this. And we'll go to Ephesians chapter 1 several times before we get through this message, by the way. And Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says this. Ephesians 1:13 says, In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth." You hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they believe unless they've heard? "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation," watch it, "in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." And I want to say the first thing, there is the seal of salvation. I want to tell you this morning, if you're saved, you've truly been born again. I want to tell you tonight, my friend, the very instant, the very second that you were saved and you were born again, God reached down there and the Holy Ghost came inside you and He dwells in you and He gave you that seal, which is the promise of the Holy Ghost. There's the seal of salvation. Without it, friend, there's no salvation. Go to John chapter 11. Let's go to John chapter 7. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. John chapter 7, Romans chapter 8. Give you a few verses. There's a seal of salvation. I want to say this morning, He sealed the deal. He fixed it. He confirmed it. He sealed the deal. John chapter 7, the Lord's talking here in John chapter 7. And He says this. In John chapter 7, I can give you many verses along this line. John chapter 7, verse 38, the Lord says this. John 7:38, And he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. For this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. There's the seal of salvation. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 says this. Romans chapter 8, verse number 8 says this. Romans 8, verse 8. But you are not in the flesh, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Watch it. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, and the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I want to say this morning, there's the seal of salvation. That Spirit of God says to me, Abba, Father. And there's a seal of salvation. Galatians chapter 4:4 says this. It says, and because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, where you cry, Abba, Father. I want to say there's a seal of salvation this morning. When the Holy Spirit came in you and sealed you, He gave you that hope and that witness of salvation. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and go to 1 John chapter 4. I want to say this morning, He sealed the deal. The Holy Spirit of God came in and sealed you, and He sealed you salvation, and there's that seal of salvation. You say, how do you know you're saved this morning? Because the Spirit of God beareth witness with my spirit that I'm the Son of God. The seal of salvation. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says this. 2 Timothy 2, 1 says this. Therefore the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Listen, if you have the seal of the Holy Ghost of God, you got that seal of salvation, and we got that seal, and God says, I know who my children is, because I can look and I see that seal on them. They've been sealed. I've got the seal. He sealed the deal. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. How do you know you're saved? I'm saved because I got the seal of salvation God put in me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12 says this. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Watch verse 13. Hereby know. How do we know? Hereby know that He dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. He said, how do you know you say? Because I've got the seal of salvation this morning. Yes. Take your Bible, turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, He sealed the deal this morning. And when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God, that seal of promise came in you after you believed, that Bible said, and God sealed you with the Holy Ghost of God, and it's the seal of salvation this morning. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. Oh, I love this. Oh, I love this Bible. Man, it's amazing, Miss Martha, what God wrote in this book. Whew! Man, this is good stuff. There's no way a man could make this stuff up. It's too good. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 said that we should be in the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, verse 13, which we saw earlier, watch it, and whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. He sealed the deal. Look at the next verse. That seal, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You know what that seal is? It's the earnest of our inheritance. That word earnest is a Bible word, by the way. It's a great King James Bible word. The new version's taken out. They don't know anything what's going on. But earnest money, you've ever bought a house, you get earnest money in, and you take that earnest money, and earnest money's a down payment, and it means you're earnest. That's what it means.
That means you're earnest and you're serious and you're going to put a down payment, this earnest money on this house, and you're going to come back and pay them the rest. That's what that means. You know what the Holy Spirit is? It's a seal of salvation. You know what it is? It's an earnest to you and I to tell us that there's more coming down the road. It's the seal of salvation. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. There's that earnest. It's an earnest. Let me know the purchased possession is coming. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here it is again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, in Him amen, to the glory of God by us. Now He which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us as God, and He hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." You say, what is that? That's that seal of salvation, Brother Ben. It tells me and lets me know that I got something up here, and that's why we can sing and shout, "I'm getting ready to leave this old world." You say, why? Because I've got a seal in me, brother, and God put that seal in me, and it's the earnest of my salvation. If something inside me says, hey, something inside of me says there's more to come. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 while you're in 2 Corinthians. Flip over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the seal of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about He sealed the deal, brother. He put His seal on it. And there's the seal of salvation. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, I love this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 1. Verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5:1. "For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle," we're dissolved, talking about this body, "it's going to fall apart. We have a building of God, a house not made with hand, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan." My body's groaning this morning. I'm hurting this morning. How about you? I didn't sleep good last night. How about you? My sinuses are bothering me this morning. How about you? "For in this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed with our house which is in heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." We're groaning. Verse 4. "For we in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for what we would be unclothed, but clothed upon the immortality, shall be swallowed up of life." Verse 5. "Now He that hath wrought us in the self same thing as God hath given us the earnest of that Spirit." Therefore, you know what? Verse 6. "Therefore we are always confident." Why are we always confident? Because of that earnest in that Spirit, that seal that God put in us. I got something in me that's an earnest, and it says, hey, there's something else coming down the road. Look at verse 6. "Therefore we are always confident." Why am I confident? Because that earnest God put in me. Knowing that while we are home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. Knowing His tabernacle groans and all that, we're absent from the Lord. Verse 6, 7, "We walk by faith and not by sight." We are confident. I say rather, and we're willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. You say, why are you going to say that, preacher? Because God put that earnest in me. It tells me I'm ready to leave this old world. I'm ready to go. I don't know about you. I'm ready to go. We're always confident and willing. You say, why? Because we got the seal of salvation. I like what Billy Graham talking about. And went home to be with the Lord 99 years old. They asked him in an interview about 5 years ago. They said, do I fear death? No. He said, I look forward to death with great anticipation. I'm looking forward to seeing God face to face, and that could happen any day. You say, how can he say that? Because God put something in him, and that Holy Ghost of God sealed him with that earnest, and we're always confident, willing rather to be absent from the body. He said this, I'm looking forward to death. I'll be very happy to get out of this body and into the new world that's been prepared. I'll be a feeling of tremendous joy and relief and rest. The Bible said, I've not seen, I have not heard, neither in heart of man the things which God has prepared for him. You know what he's saying, Miss Martha? He's saying, hey, hold on to your fork. Hold on to your fork. Because the best is yet to come, see. Remember that, Miss Martha? You know what God did? Put that earnest in us, and He said, hey, I put that earnest in you, that seal of salvation, telling you that the best is yet to come. There's a seal of salvation this morning. He sealed the deal. Not only the seal of salvation, There's a seal of sanctification. The word sanctification means the act of making holy. It means the act of consecrating or separating for a sacred person. The word sanctified comes from the word sanctus, holy, and facio, to make. Sanctify means to make holy. We come in here this morning, this is called the sanctuary. This is different from the fellowship hall. That's why I got a sign, please no food or drinks in the sanctuary. You say, why? This place is separated. It ought to be cleaner. It ought to be reverent. It ought to be different. The sanctuary is that holy place that's set aside for worship to the Lord. Now, if you want to go out there and run around and eat and do whatever, that's fine. But in here, it's off limits, see. You say, why? Because this place, it ought to be separate and cleansed and holy. This place is set aside for the worship of God. And there's the seal of sanctification. You know what saved people are called in the Bible 101 times? You know what God calls us? Saints. Saints. You know what the word saint means? It means a sanctified one. It means that you've been sanctified. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. You know what that saint means? It means that person has been sanctified and they're cleansed and they're separated and they're ready to go. We're a saint of God. I've been sanctified. There's a seal of sanctification. And there is no way humanly possible for a human being to enter heaven without the sanctification of the Holy Spirit of God. There's the seal of sanctification. You must be cleansed. You must be washed. You must be separated. And you must be sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit of God. If you don't have that, you're not saved this morning. It's the Bible doctrine of sanctification. Take your Bible. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And get 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. That word sanctify, sanctification, it occurs 283 times in your King James Bible. And it's a great Bible doctrine. It means that you've been sanctified. You've been made holy. You've been cleansed. It means you've been separated. The church, you know what the word church is? It's ecclesia. You know what that word means? We're a called out assembly. We're not part of the world. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Say, what are you saying? I'm telling you, there's the seal of sanctification. When God saved you and sealed you with the Holy Ghost, He sealed you with that seal of sanctification. He cleansed you. He purified you. And He separated you from the world. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, neither adulterers, neither adulterers, effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. You relate to that, can't you? And such were some of you, but you are washed. You're washed and you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There's that seal of sanctification. You are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that seal of the Holy Ghost, it sanctifies you, friend, and cleanses and sets you apart. You're not the same anymore. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You say, what is that? That's that seal of sanctification that God put on us. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's a seal of sanctification. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's a seal of sanctification. There's a seal of salvation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says this, verse 13. Watch it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, But we are bound. To give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Only way you'd be saved, my friend, is held that sanctification of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you've been saved the very second you were saved, that instant, that Holy Spirit of God, it cleansed and purified you in the sight of God and separated you. And hallelujah, I'm not a part of this old world anymore. I'm a stranger and I'm a pilgrim just passing through. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. You know, people can these fruits and vegetables. You know what they'll do? They'll take these cans, and the way they do it, they'll heat up the jars and the cans, put them in water. Some of you know this. And they heat up the can, and then they'll take that lid, and that lid has wax inside of it. And they'll heat up that can, they'll put the fruits or the vegetables or whatever in that can, and while that can's still hot, they'll take that lid and they'll screw it on top of that can, and that can, that wax will melt a little bit around that can, and the contraction of that hot air coming through there, that heat will take and suck that top in. And when you hear that top go, you know it's sealed. And you know the great thing about it? That thing is sanctified right then, Brother Ben, just like me and you. You can take that jar and you can put it on a shelf, Brother Chris, for 100 years. I saw an American Pickers one day, they were picking, and they found a canned jar of pickles from the Civil War. And they popped open that can, Miss Jane, and it was as fresh as the day 1860s they put it in there. You know what that can does? It sanctifies it. No, none of the world can get in. No germs can get in. No bacteria can get in. No corruption can get in. No sin can get in. And let me tell you, when God, the Holy Spirit of God, sealed you, brother, He sealed you from sin and corruption, and He sanctified you. God looks at you, brother, and that Spirit, you're clean and you're pure and you're holy before Him. And without that, my friend, you can't be saved. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says this. It says that we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did I say that? It said in verse 10, 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, if we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar and the truth is not in us. Bible said we're sinners. Sin's in us. But then you jump over to 1 John chapter 3. It says this, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. You say, what got born of God? That Spirit. You got born again spiritually. I'm going to tell you that part of you, Brother Ben, that God put in there, and he's sealed with the Holy Ghost. It can commit sin. It can't kill. It's been sanctified and cleansed by the Holy Ghost of God. And that seal, nobody can touch it. Just like those canned, man. They'll take those fruits and vegetables and they'll can those cans and that stuff. And that can will seal it. And 100 years later, somebody will come back behind that thing and open that joker up, Miss Rachel. And inside that fruit and vegetable, just as fresh and sweet and pure as a day. You know what he did? He sanctified me and you. There's a seal of sanctification. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5 real quick. You got to see this one. 1 John chapter 5. There's a seal of salvation. He sealed the deal. And there's that seal of sanctification. I'm going to tell you, He sealed the deal, brother. He fixed it. He set it and He finished it. He secured it. Look at 1 John chapter 5 verse 18. I love this. 1 John chapter 5, 18, I could give you a bunch of them. I'll give you this one. 1 John 5, 18 says this, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. You say, what's that? That's that Spirit of God in you, brethren. That's what got born again. And he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Watch it. And that wicked one toucheth him not. I got news for the devil. He can't touch this. I got news of the sin. They can't touch this. They can't touch that seal of sanctification that God put in me. Remember old MC Hammer in the 1990s? Parachute man had them pants. You know the parachute pants? And he had that one hit. He was a one-hit wonder, Miss Jane. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. I got news for you. You can't touch this. Oh, MC Hammer. You hadn't heard from him lately, have you?
Yeah.
Have you?
He advertises
to
stick on the wall.
Does he? Well, OMC grew up in a Pentecostal background, Brother Ben. Got away from God, got music. Had that big hit of the 90s. In the late 1990s, you know what happened to OMC, Brother Chris? He got saved, got right with God. You know what he's doing now, Brother Ben? He gave up all that junk. He goes around in prisons and nursing homes and places giving his testimony. His real name's not MC Hammer. That's what he still goes by MC Hammer. He said, now the MC stands for Man of Christ. Go, Brother Hammer. Let him go, baby. I want to say this morning, there's a seal of sanctification. He sealed the deal, and you can't touch this, brother. There's a seal of salvation. There's a seal of sanctification. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And go ahead and go to Romans chapter 8. Woo! I'm having a good time, aren't you? I like this Bible. Woo! I like that seal. That's why this is two-part. By the way, the best is yet to come tonight. He sealed the deal, brother. He sealed the deal. There's a seal of salvation. There's a seal of sanctification. And I want to give you another this morning. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 says this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There's the seal of supplication. You know what? I've got living in little old me. I have got Miss Martha, the greatest poor prayer warrior in the whole cotton-picking universe inside me. You say, who? I've got the Holy Ghost sealed in me. And you know what He does? He prays for me. Do you know that? You know He not only lives in me, breathes in me, but He intercedes for me. Many times He intercedes, I don't even know. In fact, most of the time. He goes places I can't go in my soul. He knows things about me I don't know. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is the seal of supplication. I've got somebody in me that prays for me and intercedes for me when I don't even know what it's about. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise the Spirit also beareth, helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't even know what we should pray for. Likewise, the Spirit also may help with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I want to tell you, I've got the seal of supplication. When the Holy Spirit came in me and sealed me, brethren, He intercedes and prays for me for things that I don't even know what to pray. Miss Rachel said this morning, she said, I have an unspoken request. You know what? Most of our prayers, if you want to be honest about it, according to that verse, they're unspoken requests. It says that He intercesses us for prayers that we cannot even know. And He said, we can't even utter those prayers. That's what it says. Most of the time in our life, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit and that seal of supplication, every one of us would be in a mess. He intercedes for us. There's that seal of supplication in my life. You know, He knows more about me. He knows more about me than I know about me. He knows things about me that I don't know about me. He's able to go in places in my life that I don't know. It says over there that He makes groaning intercession for us. He makes intercession. He makes it with groanings. He's groaning in us that cannot be uttered. You ever felt that way? You ever just got along with God something so bad sometimes and all you could get down there do and cry and groan? Oh, and just groan. You say, what's going on? I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit of God is interceding at that time. I remember years ago, man, I was Bible school and I was preaching at a rescue mission in Mobile. We used to go there and preach at the rescue mission in Mobile on the weekends. Me and Brother Lamar Chenault was there one Saturday morning. I was preaching. I drew a message. I used to draw a little board and I drew a picture and preached a message on the prodigal son. And that place was packed. It's one of the greatest missions I've ever been around. It was an old mission. It was 100 years older than Jimmy Hale, at least. I mean, Billy Sunday preaching that mission. A lot of the great preachers come through and preach in that mission. And it was hot. I loved it. And man, I preached that morning on the prodigal son when a country boy went to town. Gave the invitation. I'll never forget it, Miss Martha. as a young boy in the back. He is different from all others. His face was clear. He's about 18 years old. And I gave the invitation. And he didn't walk down the aisle. He got to the back of that aisle. And he ran down the aisle. And he ran down the aisle. And he threw himself on that altar. And all he began to do was weep and groan down there. I tried to talk to him. I couldn't even talk to him. He just, said he'd been saved. Family with charter members of Jacksonville First Baptist in Jacksonville, Bob Gray's church. Got away from God. Got away from God and drugs and all that stuff. You know what's happening? The Holy Ghost of God was over there making intercession for him that day. I mean, literally, that guy was groaning and screaming, Brother Ben, and the windows, I'll never forget it, you could hear the windows moving in that old rescue mission. I want to say there's a seal of qualification. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. If you're there, Romans chapter 8. I'm going to tell you something here about this verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says this. Likewise, the Spirit also help our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Thank God He's in there, Brother Ben. Thank God He knows more about me than I know. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints of God according to the will of God. Now here's verse 28. And there's a wonderful verse. Romans 8:28. You know what the word and is? It's a subjunction. You know what a subjunction does? It takes two things and it pulls them together. And the reason we can claim Romans 8:28, and we know, how do we know? And we know because they intercede the Holy Spirit, Miss Rachel. He's making intercession for us and praying for us where we don't know why. He's groaning for us. He's the one that's interceding, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose. You say, how can we claim Romans 8:28? Because we got the seal of supplication. And that Holy Spirit of God, He's interceding for us. And He's watching over us. And if that's not good enough, look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Or come down to verse 34. Look at verse 34. If that's not good, if that don't wet your whistle, if that don't get your wood on fire, look at verse number 34. Not only do we have the Holy Spirit interceding for us, we got somebody else interceding. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us. Hey, I've got the Holy Ghost inside praying for me, interceding for me, and praying with groanings that cannot be uttered. And I've got the Son of God in heaven also interceding for me. Boy, isn't that a deal? There's a seal of supplication. There's a seal of sanctification. There's a seal of salvation. There's also, I'm going to give you one more this morning. I'm going to give you one more. I want you to take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. There's a seal of salvation. Whew! He has set to a seal. He said, over this is the foundation of God. He set to a seal that God knows them that are His. I got that seal. I got that seal of sanctification. Jesus, the Lord, the Holy Spirit came in me, Brother Don, and He saved me and He sanctified me, brother, and you can't touch this. Now you can touch His body and He'll get you in trouble. But that Spirit of God in me, can't touch it. And there's that seal of supplication. I got someone, brother, I got the greatest prayer warrior in the whole universe living in me. And I got the right up in heaven. I got the Lord Jesus Christ making intercession for me. Hey, I shouldn't fall or fail with them two praying for me. Not only that, there's not just the seal of salvation, the seal of sanctification, and the seal of supplication, but there's the seal of security. This is not a temporary thing, Miss Martha. This is not one of those deals where you got to work for it, you got to endure the end, you got to hold on, you got to pray through, you got to speak in tongues. No, brother, this is not no tic-tac-toe three in a row, brother. This is the seal of security. Not going anywhere. Look over there in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You say you believe in eternal security? I believe in the seal of eternal security. Amen. You can't break this seal, brethren. Amen. Let me tell you, nobody but nobody or anything cannot break that seal of the Holy Ghost. If my sin or your sin could break it, we'd have broke it 2 minutes after we got saved, probably. If your sin or my sin could break it, we'd have broke it 14,000 times yesterday, probably. If that's a good day. If the devil could break that sin, Miss Rachel, if he could break that seal of the Holy Ghost, no one would ever been saved. Because he could break it for one, Brother Ben, he could break it for all. I'm going to tell you, that seal of the Holy Ghost, the seal, is a seal of security. Nobody, nothing can break that seal. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, this is good. Ephesians chapter 4. Where's that at? I know it's here. Ephesians chapter 4. This is good. It says this, Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You can grieve Him. I'm going to talk about that tonight. And you can grieve Him. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day you sin. See that? Right there. Until the day you smoke a cigarette, to the day you curse, to the day you mess up, to the day you get mad. Hey! That's what people teach. That Bible said you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And nobody can break that seal. And nothing can break that seal. But you know why preachers preach all over the place about that? You can grieve Him, but He's not leaving. He's hanging around. He can get mad. He can grieve Him. That's what Hebrews 13:5 said. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You say, why? Because you've got the seal of the Holy Ghost in you, and it's a seal of security. You say, you believe in eternal security? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I believe in eternal security because the seal of the Holy Ghost of God. And nobody but can break that seal. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 again. Ephesians chapter 1. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, He promised before the world began. God gave you a promise, and that promise was eternal life. And it's in the promises of God, which God that cannot lie. It says over there in the book of Hebrews, it said it's impossible for God to lie. Numbers 23 said, God is not a man, neither the son of man, that He should lie. What He said, hath He not said it, shall He not make it good? So and so. Look over Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I believe in the seal of security. When the Holy Ghost of God sealed me, He's not going anywhere. I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12. Says this. Yet you should be praised of the glory you first trusted in Christ, whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And after that you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You know what that is? That's that promise of God. You know what that is? That's the hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised. You know what that is? That's that seal of security which is the earnest of your inheritance. What it says. The Holy Spirit is a promise keeper of God. There's that seal of security. We had a man that came out the street preaching with us for a while one time. Brother Chris was there. And all he wanted to do was try to talk us. We were losing our salvation, didn't he, Brother Chris? We took him. I took him out. You was there, weren't you? We took him out to the Mexican place. I told him he'd go. I'd buy him. I knew he was Pentecostal. But I mean, the whole time that fellow was trying to tell us we could lose our salvation. You know what? He still texts me on the phone all the time, verses, trying to talk me out of my salvation. You know why they do it? Because they don't even believe it themselves, and they're trying to get you to believe it so they can believe it. Listen, I know what I believe. I'll let you know. If you're not interested, so be it. I'm not going to sit there and argue like that guy over and over. You say, why? He don't believe that. Most of them preachers don't. They're preaching. They don't believe it. You know what? Nobody can break that seal. Brother, if you could have broke it yesterday, you'd have broke it about 14,000 times on a good day. You'd have had to been getting saved and resealed every 2 minutes during the day. To Him that doeth the good and doeth it not, to Him that sin. You didn't do that. Brother, that sin and that standard of God of holiness is way, way up here. None of us can make it. And if we could break that seal, we'd have broke it a long time ago. Even those preachers on TV, they don't believe that. Because if you break that seal, you know what? You'd lose your salvation. Because you'd have to break that seal to go to hell, because the Holy Ghost is not going to hell with you. If you're going to get lost after you got saved and go to hell, you got to break that seal. And nobody can break that seal. I mean, even the preachers that preach that, they preach it and teach it, but you notice, Miss Martha, none of them never reach it. Oh, Jimmy Swaggart. Y'all know him, don't you? Jimmy Braggart. Back in 1988, y'all know what happened to him. Back in 1988, they caught him with a prostitute in the hotel. Y'all remember that? And she said that he was taking pictures of her in her birthday suit. Y'all remember that? Now it comes out, found out they were doing a whole lot more than taking pictures. And y'all remember, old Jimmy Swaggart got on national TV and he's crying, "Oh, Father of sin, forgive me." Did anybody hear him get saved again? Did anybody say, "Hey, I got lost, folks. I lost my salvation. I just lost it. I had to get saved again"? You didn't hear that. You say, "Why?" They don't even believe it. Listen, if that don't get you lost, I don't know what is. What are you going to have to do? Shoot 14 people? And then, he said a little bit later, he said, "Benny Hinn cast the demons out of him, so he's okay now." What a joke. Well, in 1991, y'all know what happened. He's driving down the road, driving on the wrong side of the road. Police pulled him over, Brother Ben, Baton Rouge. And he had a prostitute in the car he picked up. You know what he said that next time he got in his church? Y'all remember that? You know what he said? He said, "God told me to tell you it's flat, none of your business." What did he say? Did he say, "Hey, guess what? I lost my salvation. I got to get saved"? Those guys that preach that and teach that, they don't even believe it. Can't break that seal. Oh, Jimmy Baker. You know what happened to him? He got called adultery with Jessica Hahn. She said he drugged and raped her. Then he was sentenced for mail fraud, embezzlement, 45 years in prison. He served 5 years for that. Did anybody hear old Jim Baker say, "Hey, I lost my salvation, guys. I got saved again"? He didn't say. That's what they teach. That's what they preach. He got out. He's back in the ministry, going at it. Him and Jimmy Swagger like nothing ever happened. So what are you trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you, you can't break that seal. Even the guys, you know why they preach that and teach that? Because they try to get people scared to death, and they got people in their churches, they're anorexic and they're psychotic and everything else. They're scared to death. They're going to ball off into hell. And they keep pushing that, preaching that, and teaching that, trying to keep them in church, trying to get them tithed, trying to get them, hey, just feed them the Word of God. Tell them the truth. Amen. They got people in there, Miss Martha. They're scared to death. They're spiritually anorexic, man, and anemic, just dying. Afraid they're going to die into hell. People that teach that, they don't even believe it. Turn over to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I'll be through in a minute. Romans chapter 7. Here's the greatest Christian to ever live. Apostle Paul. Wrote 13 books of the Bible. I'd say he's closer to God than me and you were, don't you? 3 years he went to the desert of Arabia and sat under the feet of Jesus Christ himself, he said. Got revelations no man on this earth ever got. God gave Paul things he never gave anybody ever. Gave him. And look at Romans chapter 7. Oh, Paul, man, he's having a tough time. Romans chapter 7, verse 15 says this, right, verse 15. "For that which I do, I allow not. But what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. And then I do that which I would not. I consent to the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me dwells my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will in present with me, how to perform that which is good, I know find not. For the good that I would, I do not. For the evil which I would not, that do I. Now if I do that which is in me, no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find the law then that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I the law of God after the inward man. For I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Paul is in Romans chapter 7, Brother Don, and he is about ready to lose his salvation right there. I mean, he's going through that thing, "Oh, the things that I would do, I do not. That which I hate, that I do." He said, "I find out how to perform that and how not to do that. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" He's about ready to lose it right there. He's about ready to go join the charismatics with that other guy. falls down and he don't know what to do. Look at Romans chapter 8. And you know what happens? The Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit, through the inspiration of the Word of God, steps in and says, "Hey, wait a minute, Paul. Hold on. Did you know there's something missing in Romans chapter 7? You know what's missing in Romans 7? The Holy Spirit. You know what's in Romans 7? I. Look how many times I do this, I do that, I. We'll get you in trouble." Talk to that black man at church. He was telling you a while back, he was talking about that sin. He said, "You know, God's got a sin for all of us." I said, "Yeah, you ever notice how that word sin spelled?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I stuck right in the middle of it. And when I gets in there, that's a sin. That's where trouble, that's where Paul, he's going through all that, having the problem. And he said, man, I'm just having a hard time. Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And the Holy Spirit steps in and says, "Calm down, Paul. Hold on. Slow down a minute. Slow down. I got you covered." Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "And therefore is there no condemnation of them who in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh," Paul, it's not the flesh, "but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of Christ have made us be free from the law of sin and death." Look at verse 8. "So they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit of God. And so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." All through Romans chapter 7, Paul's battling. And the Holy Spirit of God steps in and says, "Hey, I got you covered. I got it taken care of." Look at verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God." You know what the Holy Spirit of God did? He just stepped in there and overrode Paul in Romans chapter 7 and said, "Hey, I got you covered here now. I got it covered." Come down to verse number 35. Paul finally gets it. Here's the message Paul got to in Romans chapter 8. See, he had all the introduction in Romans chapter 7. And he had a few points. But here's the message in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Here's where he finally got to. Romans 8, 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for their sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors of Him that loved us." Watch this. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." What was Paul saying? He was saying, "I got the seal of security. There is nothing going to separate me from Jesus Christ. This old flesh, it's wretched. I things I would do, I do not. The things that I hate, those are the things that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And the Holy Ghost steps in and said, "Hey, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Your angels, or principalities, powers, or things to come, or things present, or height, nor death, or any other creature." You say, "What is that?" That's that seal of security. Nobody can break that seal. If you even say the Holy Ghost of God seals you, brother, and I'm telling you, one of the greatest doctrines in that Bible is the seal of the Holy Ghost. And it's that seal of security. Knowing you're eternally secure, there's nothing that will break that seal. Nothing. When the Golden Gate was built in 1937, that's when they built it in 1937, it was the tallest and it was the longest bridge at that time ever made. 1937. And they built that bridge, and that men were climbing on there. They had hundreds of men on that thing welding and building that thing. And what happened, Miss Rachel? Those men would get up there working and they'd fall. 10 men died working on that thing. Other men fell, hurt themselves bad. After a while, Brother Lonzo, they're up there trying to work on that bridge and they're all scared. And the production of that bridge just died because they were all up there worried about falling. And they couldn't work. They were so scared of falling. An engineer come along, they designed, and this is true, they built a huge net underneath that bridge when those men were working. And those men, after that, the work picked back up. And when they'd fall, sometimes occasionally they'd fall and they're up working. And you know what? That old safety net would catch them. See, as a child of God, you and I, we're going to fall. We're going to get out there with the Lord. We're going to fall on our faces. Things will happen. Different things. But you know what? When people preach that eternal salvation, when they lose their salvation, you know what people they do? They get scared. And they can't work. They can't do the thing. But bless God, with the seal of the Holy Ghost of God, you know what I've got? I've got a safety net under me. I can't fall. Nobody can break that seal of security. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank You this morning, Lord. Thank You for that Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for that seal of security, God, that You've given us.